Okay, so the major issue here this week, so the issue of collection of challah in a basket. So first, just as a review, I mentioned last night at Mincha, last week one of our caterers called me. I remember I was on the phone with father disappeared. I was on the phone with a with somebody else. I ignored his call. And then, he called again, 20 seconds later, like, whatever, and I sent him a note, I'll call you back when I'm on, I'll call you back soon. He wrote back, okay, but call me back soon, I have an important question. So I quickly called him back afterwards, and he said, I got a big problem. We just made, a whole lot of challah. Okay, that's good. Thinking that, you just realized that you needed the whole thing with milk or something. But he said, and we just realized we forgot to be mafresh challah. So what do we do now? Do I have to throw it all out? What just crawled behind your back there, Dan? Do you have a dog over there?
There's a dog.
Okay. Right, so is that it? Is he up the creek? What happens to this to these challahs? So the truth is not much. One is perfectly permissible to separate challah after you break it as well. I shouldn't say perfectly permissible. It's advisable to do it as early as possible, so you don't get nervous or you don't forget or you don't think someone else did it. But even after it's baked, you're allowed to be mafresh challah at that point. So I told him, calm down, big fella, right? Just take challah. How do I have to take off a whole challah? No. You just. A chunk, whatever, a piece, if you have a roll, or take off a piece from one or something like that, and that will be fine. In fact, last night I mentioned this at Mincha, I pointed out there's a few examples that, I'm not sure how many we've covered so far, of where, well, one we covered last week, of where we specifically are mafresh challah afterwards, and that is when we bake matzah, right? When we bake matzah, so we learned that that freshest challah shouldn't be done before it's baked, because then you're stuck with two reasons. One is because we learned last week that the shear of that the Shulchan Aruch already says that one should not make a batch of matzah using more flour than would be a shear challah. So that means each batch should be less than 2.5 pounds of flour. Now, I think last week I mentioned that, well, that's a bit of a problem, meaning each round is only 2.5 pounds. That's not very much matzah coming out. So the answer is no. It's each bowl. And I actually went to this morning and found some YouTube videos of matzah bakeries. And what just happened there? And found some matzah bakery YouTube videos. And that's what's going on. Meaning they have the two rooms, one room with water and one room with flour, and they pour into one bowl. So it's each one is measured beforehand. Each flour amount is measured beforehand to be less than 2.5 pounds. They didn't say this on the video. I just assumed that that's what was going on. And then they get poured in at that amount. It actually gets mixed very quickly. And then, at least the video that I saw, it gets mixed very quickly into a dough. And then each thing of dough is then taken to a different station to work on a little bit more before it then gets handed out to the rollers. At least that's the way that I saw it done. I think the most extensive video that I was able to come across was from Kfar Chabad, but it wasn't it was from Isha Torah, so it wasn't getting into the nitty gritty of the halachos. But I think that must be what was going on, that they're doing pachus mishir chala. So therefore, if you're doing that, the case, then the only way you're going to be mafresh chala, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is after it's baked and after they get put together. So we'll discuss that. That's the topic tonight, of putting them together in order to form a time for hafreshes challah. The other time when you are specifically our mafresh challah afterwards rather than before would be when we do a blila racha. So there's blila ava and blila racha. Blila ava are thick doughs and blila racha are pouring doughs, right? So when you make bread, right? So there you're making you're using a lot of dough. That's a thick dough. So you mafresh challah before, right? You have the dough and you take off a piece. But if it's a blila racha, it's a pouring dough, like when you make a cake or muffins or things like that, where you make a batter and the batter pours in. So you can't be mafresh challah beforehand. It's just going to be soup. So you So there, you actually bake it first, and then you mafrish challah afterwards. That is the minhag. In fact, actually, this morning, one of our mashkichim, one of the caterers, asked me, and they're not normally mafrish challah, but he sent me a question about some specific, do you make a bracha or not, whatever. He sent me some specific question, and I was like, but wait a second, what are you guys baking? You don't bake challah over there. And he said, oh, it's humintashen season. So humintashen are uses a thick dough as well, so therefore he had to be mafresh. He said 15-pound batches of humintashen they were making over there.
It doesn't matter if it's motzi or mezonot, you have to take challah.
Okay, right, as long as it's one of the five grains.
Yeah.
It's one of the five grains. In fact, actually, I need to investigate this. If anybody knows what this is, one of the rabbanim yesterday went to Giant. I didn't get a chance to check this out myself yet. But he said they sell at Giant over here a Irish soda bread. Anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, what is Irish soda bread, Dan?
I can picture it. I think it's very crusty. And has lots of holes in the middle. I mean,
the reason why it was called to my attention is that apparently it's labeled as milchix, right? Milchix bread is not a thing that we go for. So for some reason, so the word got back to me that someone that comes from the OU and the OU said it's allowed to be milchix. I'm not sure why. So. Need to investigate what the story is with the Irish soda bread. Why it says that it, if it is milchix, and if it is milchix, are we okay with selling it as milchix bread? I think the idea is that it's not, that there's no water in it or something. Is that possible? There's no water in it?
I'm looking at it right now. Grandma's Irish soda bread. It doesn't require any yeast. All of its leavening comes from baking soda and buttermilk.
And maybe there's so maybe that's it. There's no water.
Huh?
All right. So it could be that they're viewing it as a cake rather than as a bread. All right. Anyways, so now we get over here to Simon Shin Chav Vav. So Shin Chav Vav is here in the Torah. So the Torah says here. So Shtei Isu She'in Bishum Achas Kashir. So if they touch one another to the point a little bit, if the two you don't have amount, so you have a pound and a half here and a pound and a half, well, I don't know, that's two pounds and 2 pounds, and they touch one another, so as long as they're touching one another, so they join together in order to create the shir chal, in order to create the obligation of chal. But if they don't touch each other, behem bisal, and they are in a basket, hasal mitzarfen, so the basket itself is able to connect them. Even after it became bread, right? So now what are we talking about here? So you make low amounts of dough, and then you put in the thing in the oven. Then it comes out. Then you put in a box, and then you put the next one in a box. The next one in a box, and pretty soon you'll have a shir challah, not because it was kneaded together, but because it is being stored together. Right, so that is the sugi here, and the Torah says, yeah, that's enough, that's to become chal. The Torah didn't make this up. This is actually a pretty befarish Mishnah. So if we go back to the first page there in the Beis Yosef, so where it says Aleph, he says Mishnah Perek Dal Dechala. All right, Beis Nashim Sha'asu Beis Kavin V'Nagu Zebezen. Those two kavs, those two amounts, touch one another. Right, Afilu Heim Mimin Echad Peturin Bizman Sheheim Shel Isha Achas. Even if it's one type, but it belongs to two women, so then it's not going to be chayiv. But if it's of one woman, so min b'mino chayiv, v'shelo b'mino pater. So if it's of one woman owns both, and it's the same type of bread, so then they're going to be chayiv. U'pershem u'forshem d'hai v'nagu ze b'ze hainu she'yeshuchu o'tzirif sal. Either that they touch each other, yashuchu, they touch one another, or there's a tzir of sal that the basket that they're in combines them. So this mishnah is discussed Let's skip this next section. That talks about them actually tushing. But the Beis Yosef part at the bottom there, it says, Umay shnovim in nidvakim v'him b'sal hasal mitzarfim. So them touching is not going to come up that much for us, meaning to have different things that the doughs touch each other at some point. That's not really that big of an issue. But that they join together in a box, that is a big issue. So here he says this second one, the Mishnah Beis, the Chala Mishnah Dalet, Ha'ose Isaso Kovin, V'nagu Zeh B'Zeh, Peturim Min HaChala, Ad Sheyashuchu, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Haroda, V'nasan L'Sal. Even after you take it out of the oven and place it in a sal, Hasal Mitzarf, and the basket joins them together, L'Chala, V'ifzika Halacha, V'perek Elu Ovrim, U'V'perek Kama Denida, K'Rebbe Eliezer. And the Gemara there paskins like Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, you could say that's not true. I mean, it's Rebbe Eliezer's Chiddush. But this, the Gemara says explicitly that we paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. In fact, this is an example, because the Gemara sometimes quotes Rebbe Eliezer, and it'll say, like, but we don't paskin like Rebbe Eliezer, except for four cases, or something like that. And this is one of the four cases. So it pops up here in these two places in Shas, and possibly other places as well, as like the example of where we see that we pass on like Rebbe Eliezer in a couple of specific cases. This is one of the specific cases. Fine. Umdivri asmag v'shem ri nira, the tsiruf sal lo mahani, el imhim nogim zebzeh. Now, there is the opinion here of the smag that says, yeah, the basket only works if they are actually touching one another. But if they don't actually touch one another, so then the basket is not actually going to join them together. But and he quotes here as well. The Darkei Moshe says, and v'chein mashma b'truma sadeshen. It sounds like that the truma sadeshen b'shem hatosos. I don't think we have the tosos. That's why they're quoting the truma sadeshen in the name of tosos. But I don't think we have it in our Gemara. The ein lismoch al tzir of sal ela kishalash kishir isa. Only when they're kneaded together. V'nechlok. Unless they're kneaded together. If they're kneaded together, erchayv and chala anyways. So what exactly is he talking about? So that's the general approach, is that they don't necessarily have to be touching. If they're in the same basket, they're now going to join together and create the shear. So then you continue on. The Gemara has a debate. That's the next section here in the Beis Yosef on the next page. That then is a machlokas. So what are we talking about? So it has to be in one basket. So what about if it's on one table or on one tray? So does that one tray make it combine it together? So says the Beis Yosef. So Perek Vav Mehilchos Bikurim Kasav Kain V'Taimu Mishum, the Perek Elu Ovrin Ibaylan. The Gemara itself seems to ask this in Gemara and Psachim. Tavlish Einlo Sheinla Lizbaz Mahu Toch Kli Beinan Bahaleika Odilma Avir Kli Beinan Bahaika V'Salk V'Teku. And the Gemara concludes that to take. I mean, the Gemara explicitly asks, what if it's on a table, but it's not contained within a basket, but just on a kli together? So the Gemara concludes, Teku. So the Rambam says, okay, fine, Teku. So when the Gemara says Teku, so what is that? What do we paskin in that case? So in every area of halacha, we have our way of paskining shilas. So suffik in this area, we're going to say suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, suffik d'rabanan l'kula. So nowadays, when we assume that chala, separating chala, is only a din d'rabanan, so you have the right to say suffik d'rabanan l'kula, and that's the way that we paskin. So in order for this to be an issue, it's not just enough for it to be on the same tray, it needs to be contained within the same kli. Let's see, one or two more points here in the Beis Yosef. Okay, so actually, if you go to the bottom of the page where it says Aleph Beis over there, one or two more points here in the Torah. Number one, the bold in the Beis Yosef here, I'll just do those parts. It's only what's contained within the kli. But if anything's popped above the kli, so it doesn't work. So if you have a bowl of popcorn, that's not a great example, a bowl of pretzels, and the pretzels are above the kli, so that doesn't count. But if any part of it is below the lip of the kli, so then that does count. Okay? And then if you cover it with a mappa, also that works in order to join them. That's another thing, meaning if you sort of encircle them one way, so that would join them together. And then at the bottom here, it says Aleph Beis. The bottom line here in the Beis Yosef, continuing on to the next page, where he says, Tayde Perek Elu Ovrim, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hasal Mitzarfan L'Chala, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Tanur Mitzarfan. Rabbi Yeshua says that the oven joins them together. And the Rambam paskins that the ein tanur mitzarfim, that we don't, that an oven doesn't join them together. The time mishum, the ifsika hilchasa for Rabbi Eliezer. The reason is because the Gemara passes like Rabbi Eliezer. If you're passing like Rabbi Eliezer, mashra lafuke Rabbi Yeshua. So that's to exclude the position of Rabbi Yeshua. Namihu de ifsika, about, namihu. Lafuke Rabbi Yeshua Nami Hudivsika. That means it's also coming to Paskin against the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And that's the way the Rambam Paskins, that if it all gets mixed in together in an oven, so you have several matzahs going on at once, and then it all ends up in an oven together, so that's not going to join them together. So the Rush, however, disagrees. Okay, and then there's a little further discussion about that, which way we paskin on that halacha. We'll see what we do in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, so far, so good. Okay, so we go to the next page. We fit everything on, well, two pages of Shulchan Aruch this week. So the Shulchan Aruch here says, on Shincha Pesef Aleph, Shtei Isos She'ein B'Shum Achas Kashir, if you have two doughs, neither one is the requisite amount. Im Nogam Zu B'Zu, if they touch one another, Ad Shenidvak Ma'at Mizu B'Zu, until they're actually stuck together, so Mitzarfin, they join together. Im Hemimin HaRoy Litzarif, if they're two different types of doughs that are permitted to join together, like we talked about, barley doesn't join with wheat, etc. Right? Kavim Ashen Yispar earlier. Vim Eina Nidvakim, but if they don't stick together, Behem Besal Echad, and they're in one sal, they're in one basket, Hasal Mitzarfin, so the basket will join them together. Vafilu achar shenafa, even after it's baked. Vinase pas v'nastan al tavla she'en la levazvez ena mitzarfim. And but if it's put on a tavla, on a flat thing that doesn't have sides, it doesn't join them together. It doesn't join them together. V'lachein says the Rama k'she mitzarfim kli b'kli yizar shul yatsa shum davar l'mal midufne akli, it shouldn't go above. Right? The hainu shehei kol ki karl echad o isa l'mal midufne akli. That should be all. Meaning that the entire key card, the entire amount, will be above the kli. So the shach here explains in Beis, he says al tavla why zehu baya de luifshita. So baya de luifshita means it's a gemara's question that doesn't have an answer. The gemara never answers the question. So therefore the mechaber says b'stam she'im etzarfim, that doesn't join together. Why kim d'mizman hazeh kol chal derabanan? Because nowadays chal is only derabanan, as we learn earlier on, and therefore we could say suffik derabanan lekula. Now in theory, if chal would become doraisa, so then we would be machmir on this halacha, and maybe even on table would be a problem. Comes the shach here. It's also v'lachin mitzarfin.
What would it be? Come deraisa when there's majority of Jews in Israel, or what's the?
Yeah, I assume so. Now there is this bit of a question. Certainly in Chutz La'aretz it's derabanan. Certainly, in order for it to be deraisa, so then it needs to have the majority of Rov Yoshvel Leha, whatever it is that means. There is the status in Eretz Yisrael, though, nowadays is a little different than the status of Chal outside of Eretz Yisrael, as we pointed out. It's a little bit how much so. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's sort of treated as a minhag in order so that we remember that there's such a thing as Chal, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, where there is treated as the Dinder Rabbanon of Chal, which has a couple of ramifications. I'm not sure we haven't really covered any of them. Well, one ramification was whether you could separate it on, whether you could cut off a piece of it on Shabbos in order to keep it. That was one difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, right? So, but there is sort of, with some of these halachos, the derabanan is to keep it as deoraisa. It's the same thing with Shemitah. Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only derabanan, but there are a couple of things that are kept l'chumra, because otherwise, like, it's not being kept deoraisa anywhere. So the derabanan sort of is a way of maintaining the minhagim for when it's deoraisa, so therefore you have to keep the deoraisa minhagim. So these are this that what the status is exactly in Eretz Yisrael when you call it derabanan is sort of case by case needs to be analyzed. Okay, but
is it something that just evolved in the way the halacha developed in the different places? I mean, I'm not sure why it should be that different.
The concept, I don't remember the terminology for it or exactly the case where it came up, but I know there's a Chazon Ish that discusses this at length in Hilchos Shmita, that that if we're just going to treat a lot of the Shmita things as derabanans, then it's not going to be kept at all, and then it's like sort of loses its. The purpose is to make sure to maintain it going forward. So if a couple of things that are not going to be done at all, so then you're not going to know what to do going forward. So it's treated more in a more chamor way than we might otherwise think derabanans are being kept.
Where the bread is baked or where the bread is eaten?
Oh, really? Where it comes from? I think.
Okay.
It's where the wheat is from. Okay. I think of four possibilities: where the wheat is from, where it's kneaded, where it's baked, and where it's eaten. Right, all four of those could play themselves out. Okay, so the Shach Gimel there says, "V'lachin k'shem itzarfim." So atavlaka, it's going on the tevel. K'deshekol hakikar o'aisa. Right, that's above the walls. But if some of it is in the walls, then that's going to be fine. And then we have she'kol hakikar achat. So says the Shach here, ha miksasa bifnim mitzarif to lo havi dumni the tavla. Okay, fine. That's also something else. So is going to comment on this. Yeah. So the if you in these video in the if you look at a matzah bakery the way that they function, how are they mafresh the challah then? So right after it comes out of the oven, this is the other thing that I wanted to look for, not just the size of the of each individual batch, but when it comes out of the oven, so they get put into these like crates. I don't know, like they look like shopping carts, I guess. They're put down sideways into these shopping carts, and then you have. I guess you have enough then in order to be mafresh challah. I'm not really sure. I mean, the boxes of matzah, of shmur matzah, are 1 or 2 pounds, right? So it's 1 or 2 pounds plus water, but the water mostly gets burnt away. So I guess, yeah, so if you have like a shopping cart filled with matzah, I guess that would come out to enough flour to have the shir challah. So they didn't make the point of it in the video of when they actually were mafresh challah. I'm not actually sure. I didn't actually see it happening, but I think that's the theory. The theory is that after it comes out of the oven, it gets put into these like box carts or something, and that's that then, because you've then combined them together, that creates the shir challah, and then you at that point you're mafresh it. I guess they, you know, if there's a piece that's broken already, that would be the piece that you would want to be mafresh for challah.
So you're mafresh after it's been baked.
When it comes to matzah, you have to be mafresh after it's baked, because that's the first of all, because it's specifically not kneaded with a shir challah. They specifically knead it with less than a shir challah because of the concern that that if it's too much of a batch, you're gonna you're not gonna be able to mix it well, or you're not gonna be able to maintain motion with it. So therefore, it specifically has less than a shir challah when it's kneaded, but then afterwards it's put together to create this. And they point out that you need to do that because it's not responsible to just say, oh, well, it's not chayav and challah, we're just going to leave it, because at some point the matzah could be joined together with enough in order for it to have a shir challah later on, right? It's not crazy to then, you know, you'll take a pile of matzahs and put it sort of in the middle of the table, and that could be enough of a shir challah at that point. So therefore, the responsible thing is for them to take off the challah in the bakery.
It becomes chayav for challah to be at any point in the production or even shipping process.
Anytime that it then gets joined together with other that there's a shir challah together.
It ends up in the truck, and now it's a shir challah.
Right. So the truck and things like that. So that is that's a question. So we'll get to that. So number one, the next thing that the Shulchan Aruch here says, and we saw it, the Gemara. Also has this question that whether an oven can count, right? V'yesh misha omer she machasa pas b'mat. Sorry.
What's that? What's it going on? Sorry.
The end of Aleph here. There's right in back into the Shulchan Aruch itself. So we did the Ramah. there's the Mechaber concludes, has a little bit, has two lines at the end. He says, V'yish misha omer, she machasa pas b'mape, chashiv kamo kli litzarfen. That even covering it with a blanket, that should be sufficient. So the Shach here makes the point. He says, Lo yadati lama kasu b'shem yesh misha omer. I don't know why he's quoting it in that way. Meaning when you say yesh misha omer, in Shulchan Aruch language, yesh misha omer is a... there are those who say, but we don't necessarily paskin that way, right? That's that's the code of the Shulchan Aruch. So Shach says, what do you mean? We don't paskin that way? He says, I don't know why he wrote that. Yesh misha omer sharei ein cholik b'davar, because there's nobody that disagrees. And the Torah also says, right, Haidina, Umaril Bihilchas Pesach Kasav, Dim Ein Lo Kli Shemachsik Eskula, right, and this comes from a Maharil. The Maharil says if you don't have a Kli to hold the entire thing, meaning when you make the matzahs, but you don't have a Kli large enough to hold it, so then Yanichena B'mapa, put it in a cloth of some kind, B'chasa HaMapa, and cover the Mapa, right? Gamkein Aleihem V'nikra Tziruf Hagun, and that's a good enough Tziruf, just to put it in a blanket. So, and nobody disagrees with it. So why is the Mechaber just quoting it as a Yesh Misha Omer when there's nobody disagrees? So this is actually an interesting methodological point here. And that is, right, we know that the Shulchan Aruch is based on trying to take all the opinions and figuring out majority rules, or taking the three opinions, right? So starting point, the Rif Rush and the Rambam, right? Two out of three wins, and perhaps taking a few other opinions and figuring out who the majority opinion is. So the question sometimes comes up is, what happens when you have somebody who says something and nobody disagrees, but nobody agrees either? Meaning you guys have an opinion out there. So the fact that nobody said it, does that mean that that everybody else agrees, or does that mean that everyone else disagrees? But so this idea that a mapa, that a covering like that would work. So that is not that's not quoted mentioned. Right, by anybody else. So the Mechaber says, all right, so one person thought of it, right, but it's maybe a Das Yachid. I'll quote it as that there are those who are Macher for that opinion. Shach is like, what are you talking about? Nobody disagrees, so that's the way that we paskin. Right, and that ends up being the Machlokas here, and the Mechaber, Mechaber versus the Shach. I recently I heard Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz articulate this point on a shiur that I was listening to. I think the example he gave is like nodding tzitzis, right? So when you make tzitzis, so can you make tzitzis at night if there's no chiyuv of tzitzis at night? So there is like some machronim or something who said, well, maybe you shouldn't be making tzitzis at night because this man tzitzis, the time for tzitzis is during the day, not at night. So nobody else says that it's permissible at night, but nobody else says it's prohibited at night. So what do you do? Does that mean everybody else like disagreed, or everybody else assumed it was fine, or like what exactly is the halacha? What do we assume most people assumed when they were sort of silent on a particular matter? So part of it is how big of a chiddush is it, or not, or things like that. So yeah, that is a sort of a methodological point to keep in mind. Now the Shulchan Aruch left out one of the things that was mentioned in the Beis Yosef. He didn't even mention it at all, and that is this issue of the ovens, right? So does the ovens join it together or not? So that ended up being a machlokas. Now, why does he leave it out? So he probably left it out because it's included in, because the answer is no. So a basket combines them, and he leaves out the oven, because the oven doesn't combine them. So So what's the story there? Why is it that a basket would include everything and the oven, but an oven would not work to include everything? So for that, one can turn to the last couple of pages there. So there's a page, right? There's two pages here from the Derech Emuna of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So I know it's not so easy to read, but the one that has page Mem Vav on the top. Did I put the right page in? Memvav.
No.
There, it should say Perek Vav. Page Memvav. Or is there...
Perek Vav, Hilchos Bikurim?
Right, Hilchos Bikurim.
Perek Vav.
Right, but what's the page number on the top?
90.
Okay, I have two pages. There's page 90 and there's...
Okay, so then there's... Oh, yeah?
There's only one? Oh, no. What did I send you?
No, it could be me. I don't know. And the next one back out...
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 6. If you go to page 6.
Okay.
Yeah, so page 6...
Involved, yes.
Okay, so this is, of course, right, so this is the Derech Emuna from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he, he's writing on the Rambam, right? His idea was, sort of like, this is the same as the Mishnah Berurah, or similar to the Mishnah Berurah, right? The Mishnah Berurah wrote on Shulchan Aruch, but there is no Shulchan Aruch on many of these halachos. Now, there are on some, meaning this, but he's writing on all Seder Zrayim. So all of Seder Zrayim, a lot of it is not in Shulchan Aruch, so therefore he wrote it based on the Rambam. So the top couple of pages is the text of the Rambam himself. So if you see the end of Tezayin, I mean right before it says Yud Zayin, that's where the Rambam adds, V'ein ha-tanur mitzarfin l'chala, that the tanur, the oven, does not merge it together in order to create a shir chala. So then on the bottom, so there's the Derech Emuna and the Bir Halacha. So the Derech Emuna is kind of like the Mishnah Berurah, sort of like simple ideas, and the Bir Halacha is where he goes more in depth. So there's this pretty lengthy Bir Halacha, but has a bunch of interesting things in it. So the Bir Halacha here says, Ve'ein hatanur mitzarfin l'chala. Right, see that? About 6 lines down. So he says, Re'isi b'sefer pischa zuta al hilchos chala. By the way, because you raised before, what are we doing in Bikurim? Hilchos chala is in Bikurim. That's there's a couple of prakim in the Rambam's sefer in Hilchos Bikurim. That's where he includes the mitzvah of challah. Why that is, not really sure. Figure that out. But comes the Bir Halacha here and says, "Ve'isi b'sefer pischa zuta, right? Shehevi machlokas lama tanur enu mitzarif. Why is it that the oven doesn't gather it together? Why not?" The dasadas kedoshin da tamishum shetzad echad shel tanur pasuach. So Biskei Zuta says, oh, I'll tell you, because an oven has one side open. Now, what do you mean one side open? It could mean the top open, or it could be the side open, but there's one side that's entirely open, and therefore it's not a kli. Ayin kelim perches mishetes, v'lefi zeh im stam pi atanur betit, odaf, oshiesh lo dlasos, o levazvez v'pischo mitzarif. He says, okay, but what about, I don't know, if you would put a door on an oven? Or you would seal an oven, right? So nowadays, I think most of us in our kitchens probably have ovens with doors, right? I don't want to make any assumptions about the high technology, but what?
But the biscuit you were talking about before doesn't have a top.
What doesn't have a top?
A basket.
Ah, okay, very good, very good. Good question, right. Well, what's the difference in a basket? So,
yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Hold that. So, physical mitzarif, v'dasa, so the tam yishum shehu mechubar, so that's answer number one. Then it would join together. V'dasa, I forgot, the mem kuf mem, I forgot who that is, but he says, that tam yishum shehu mechubar lekarki. He says, no. The reason is because it's attached to the ground. So if you had an oven that wasn't attached to the ground, so then they would join together. Now it's just a little bit unclear how attached to the ground does it need to be. I mean, is it plugged into the wall? Does that work or not? So that's it's actually a big tefilas kalim controversy. But okay.
What does the ground have to do with it?
Because he's saying it's not a kli. He's saying if it's attached to the ground, so then it's not royal makabel tuma, and therefore it's not a kli. Okay, so those are his possibilities. Now, the truth is, you could switch both of them around, right? You could say, well, what about a barbecue, right? A barbecue's not attached to the ground, right? And at least a lot of them aren't. So does that change the halacha? The truth is, Rav Chaim himself seems to say he likes his own pshat. So he says, first of all, what about today's ovens? They're connected by way of electricity, right, or gas, right? Is that considered connected to the ground or not? Right, and this is also nugeya to a refrigerator, right? A refrigerator is not like an oven, right, but it is attached to the ground. right? Im nikra mechuber lekarka. Uvesefer chalas lechem kasu dafku betanur. He says, no, it's only an oven. Tolish pligi b'mastisin aval betanur hamechuber lekarka luchuli alma ein mitzarif. He says, no, the whole question is only by a tanur that is separated. But if it's a tanur that is attached to the garden, everybody agrees that it won't join together. So then comes so Rav Chaim doesn't exactly analyze that. Plus he says, but you do this, well, if Fini is dicey, he says, I think that this is the answer. Yesh lomar tamachar. I'm going to have a different reason. Mishum shalom nusin ha-pasla tanor shei besocho el rak lafos ulhotzio. He says, well, so when it comes to an oven, what's the purpose of an oven in the life of bread or in the life of matzah? What's the purpose of an oven? It's for it to go in and out, right? You put it in there and then you take it out pretty soon after. Right, if you leave it in there for too long, you're not going to have bread anymore. Right. In fact, I remember going as a kid to the matzah factory, like on a class trip, and they pointed out to us that if you leave the matzahs in the matzah oven too long, matzahs are in the oven for like 12 seconds, right, or at most, right. If you leave it in for too long, it actually like explodes the matzah because it's so hot; it's 1,200 degrees in there. So if like you leave one in too long. So, like, it's burnt, he's not going to serve it, he doesn't take it out, he just, like, pushes it to the back, and it, like, explodes, it just, like, turns into its own ball of fire. So, but anyway, so he says, but an oven is only a temporary home for this stuff, right? El rak lafos ulotzio. Dugmas v'ashakasav ha-tosus m'nachos, she'adu v'sfina inim, okay, skip the brackets. V'lefizeh, in be'emes yaniach betoch hatanur. So he says, oh, based on that, so if you actually would leave it in the oven, Isa, k'dei she'hesham yitzarif, it would join together. Meaning if the oven is off, right, or, you know, it's turned on a timer and it's off, so then maybe it would join together. V'chein im hashiruhu achar hafia v'rotzi she'hesham k'tzasman, or you want to leave it in there afterwards a little bit. So yitzarif, it would join together, because then it's more permanent resting place. V'chein yatsam izeh kula, you also have a kula from that. Shem nastu b'sal rak de lahavarum imakum lamakum, that if you put it in a basket, not in order to hold it, but just to take it from place to place, oh, or for some other reason, right? You don't want it to stay there too long. Lo yitzarif gamasal. The basket itself isn't going to merge it together either. And it's a good question. But otherwise, you wouldn't be able to separate it in some cases. Meaning, if you actually put it in there for a specific reason, by two joining together for hafrashas challah, so then for sure, it's going to work. Ravayim b'darei sheviu b'shem Rabbeinu Yochiyoshim ein rotsa letzarfen ein mitzarfen. Also, if you don't want them to join together, so then they're also not going to join. Okay, so that is that's number one. Keep your finger on that spot or whatever for a moment. But that's the first thing with regards to the oven. So it's befirish that an oven doesn't work. Okay, why not? So there are a couple of reasons that are offered. Right, number one, because it's open on a side, in which case maybe it's not, or because it's connected to the ground. All right, so that also raises questions. So what about refrigerators and things like that? Right, and then the third thing is his idea of, well, it depends if that's considered to be a permanent home or not. That's what it's going to be dependent on. Okay, so that's with regards to understanding why an oven doesn't work. Now there's an additional halacha here, which he is now going to get into. What about merging them together afterwards? So we started talking about this case last week. All right, what about if you take, well, the matzahs and you put them all into 1 pound boxes? Okay. 1 pound box is not going to be enough for the shir challah. But then you take 10 1 pound boxes and you put them in a larger box, or you put them in a truck, right? So would that be able to merge them together at that point? So is a right sal betoch sal, does that merge them together? So the so that's a good that ends up being a machlokas here. So the Derech Emunah continues on. I mean, Rav Chaim Kanievsky continues on with regards to that issue. He says, "V'yesh la'ayin." I would put this in like a different paragraph, but you know, whatever. "V'yesh la'ayin im nosnim kelim harbe l'soch kliachad gadol." What about if you take a lot of kalim and you put it into one large kli? Ima gadol mitzarfen, does that large one join them together? Oh, shakilim haktanim mafsikim shelo yitzaref. Or do the smaller kalim make it so that they don't join? Va'afal gav the kaimelon that tzarech gam negia that needs to touch betoch hasal kamo shekasov I don't know, Davar Acher, I guess. The Yishlomer, he says, no. The Kevin Ta Kalim Nogim Zebezeh, if the Kalim themselves are touching one another, Sagi, maybe that's enough. So that's his question, right? Or the example we gave last week of somebody who bakes a bunch of cakes, right? So my sister-in-law's Rebbetzin Rothwax. So she, I don't know if she still does this, but the way she used to do it for, she used to bake a cake for everyone in the shul. Like a, you know, that's, she like baked a small chocolate cake for the Shalach Manos for, you know, the 300 families in the shul. So what do you do with that to store it? So, you know, you can't do it all at once. So you take some and you put it in the freezer. So each one is not going to be sufficient. But if you take all of that together, so that should be sufficient. So now they're joined together by being put into the freezer together. So does that mean that you're then going to have to be mafresh challah on it at that point? So what does he say? So he says, Umilashon ha Mishnah Brura. He says, from the Mishnah Brura, it sounds like Besimin Tafnun Zayin Sifkatun Zayin Shekasav Dim Ein B'chol Isa Shir Chala. That if not each thing doesn't have a Shir Chala, and you want to join them together, Ein LaHakel Afsha Kalim Pesuchim Umekuravim LaHadade Elim Kain Yanichum B'soch Sal Echad Oshi Chasa Lehem B'mape. That if you have these things independently, you want to join them together, you can only join them together if you put them into a larger kli. In a larger kli. But it sounds like they already are together. Alehem b'mape. Ein lahavi raya, the mitzdarfim, the efshar, the kavanas sheyotziu, mitocha kelim, v'yanichehu besoch salachat. It could be that you're taking them out of each of the individual kli and putting them in one large kli. O yechasim b'mape. Miyu b'bir halacha sham. If you look in the bir halacha over there, it says, v'asal nistapek im mapa. Levad, moil, b'li litein b'toch hakli. That the basket nistapek im mape levad with a covering works b'kli litein b'toch kli elim kain mashma de kavanaso sheitim b'toch kli acher v'im hayu boltim yichase b'mape right v'dachuk ksas. But you should right. You could put in another kli. And if they're sticking out, you would cover it with the mappa. But that means what? That means that in the larger kli, they're separated in the larger kli. It sounds like that would work. He says, "Inu v'gilyon ha-mishnah brura may from my father." I'm not sure what the whole Roshi Tevos is. May mori v'revi avi mori v'revi from his father. He says, "I saw a note in my father's mishnah brura in the margin." Right, Ra'isi, I saw shekasev sham nira aldato shabir leel bebeir alacha v'hainu shineach shneha kelim besoch kli. That he thought the pshat was that you were taking two kelim and putting it in one kli. Shemechitzu suha gavua meha kelim, where the wall is higher than those kelim. But still, o shineach kelim besoch mape gedola v'chasev mape zu aleihem umala. Aval shnei kelim shekisa osam bekisa achad rak lamala inza moel. That's not enough for it to join together. He says, but if they're put together, even if in separate kalim in a larger kli, that larger kli is enough to join them together. And he says, very easy, and I think this is continuing of his father's note, is that I saw in the Sefer Simlas Chaim that they asked this to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, right, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, Beheshiv She'eno Mafsika Kli V'Kli Mitzar, from that they're not separated and they join together. So in theory, if you have separate kelim, right, separate Tupperwares, and put them in a freezer together, that actually would join them together in order to create a shir challah. So as you pointed out, sometimes when cakes is a pretty hard, you have to make a lot of cake in order to get to the shir challah, because there's not so much flour in it. But if you put them, merge them together in a larger kli, so says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that they would then join together. Now, just to finish this off, it seems like Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, disagrees. So if you take a look here in on page 7, in footnote 6 over there. It says v'mieshlu shnei divrei mapa. If you have two types from the of baked items, shekol echa mehem pachus mikashir, that each one is less than a shear. V'hem azurim besakios nylon nifrados, and they're in separate bags. So shamati from Shlomo Zalman, the efshar she'in mitzar from Yachad, that they're not going to join together. The kevach harbi rishonim serving the tzir v'sabul vad lo sagi below negia. But there are actually some rishonim who assume that even in a basket doesn't work unless they're actually touching each other. Lachain af agav shalacha machmir, and we are chayiv on that, like we learned tonight. Shachayiv gam below negia, as we learn in Shulchan Aruch. Mikol makom im heim besakios nifrados, if they're in separate bags, even though they touch one another. Efshar de chashvin luhu kesalim nifrad, we consider them separate. Afilu kashem pechtuchos, even if they're open. V'rak besalachad, only in one basket. Afagav shev emsi yish v'neim davar achotzeis. Efshar de shapir mitzarfim v'tei sheshneim nitlim ayidei asaf. Because maybe they would be taken up by one basket. So Shlomo Zalman essentially says, come on, this is already the whole thing is a chumrah about joining it together. I mean, not all Rishonim hold like that. And certainly to have separate bag things in one large bag, in one large kli, that's a chumrah al gabi chumrah. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says one has the right to be makel on that. Okay, so that is the bottom line when it comes to these tziruf tzal. So it ends up being a machlokas between, I would say, Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, except in Yerushalayim has Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld also being machmir. So you have Rav Shlomo Zalman against Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and the Kanievskis, and perhaps the Mishnah Berurah, that's his quote from the Mishnah Berurah, whether a basket, whether a kli holding multiple kalim, whether that is actually going to join them together, or is it every kli for itself, even if it is contained within within a larger kli. All right, so that is this. There's more to say. This is one of the more lamaisa and festive sugyas. How do we? What do you mean we?
How do we prosecute in this case of like the multiple plastic bags and stuff?
Yeah. Like, so So our organization's truth is maybe let's see. Does anybody Cohn's book? Has he put what the CRC policy is? This came up for us in one case. I said in the JFCS building, but the truth is there. It's even more of a chumrah because it's unclear who even owns it, right? If it's a non-profit, especially if the non-profit isn't entirely Jewish, it could be that they're not chayiv in challah at all at that point. You would also say dispute, you know, Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. So I have a feeling in Chutz La'aretz one would have the right to be completely makel on this, and Eretz Yisrael maybe one would be a little bit one might be more machmir, probably depending on whether you were in Shari Chesed or Bnei Brak at the time. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have, like, what is the... I don't see if he has here. I mean, Rav Eliashiv is also Machmir. So, you know, there's different people will follow their different psakim in the... I see he quotes here the Minchas Yitzchak as being Mekel. So, all right. So it's a... Ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
What did the episode of Orthodox do?
That, yes, I don't know. That's a good question. That I can find out. All right, Laila Tov. Yeah, let me be up. Okay, where are you, Dad?
I'm in Killington.
Oh, all right.